Same ears, to lose his identity, to be enveloped, to be supported. For, whatever may be said of the relation of the sexes, there is no man who loves a woman that does not desire to come to her for the renewal of his courage, for the cutting asunder of his difficulties, and that will be the mainspring of his desire for her. We are all so afraid. We are all so alone, we all so need from the outside the assurance of our own worthiness to exist. From The Good Soldier by Ford Madox Ford. Part 1. Khadarov, Ukraine. November 1943. Prologue. SS Hauptsturmführer Maximilian August Otton Ewald Auxiliatrix, Count von Aschau, spat out the remains of the rolled-up scrap of newspaper he'd been using to make himself a Mohorka cigarette, tipped back his crusher cap, and paused to check the time on the inside of his wrist. He gave a fleeting smile as he caught the sound of his three remaining tanks firing up their engines against the cold. Grunting like an old man, he moistened the torn edges of the cigarette with the tip of his tongue, sealed the capsule with a dab of spittle, then pinched off the few remaining tobacco flakes and replaced them inside his rubber-lined pouch. Briefly, routinely, he checked out his surroundings with the partially focused 1,000-metre gaze shared by all veterans of the Winter War. Satisfied, he groped inside his camouflage jacket, retrieved the cord attached to his storm lighter, leaned superstitiously away from the stove, and lit the papirosu inside half-frozen hands. He waited for a few seconds for the tobacco to take effect, and then checked his watch again. The three tanks cut their engines as one. He nodded his head in satisfaction. The resident grime on his face, the spiderwork of combat lines around his eyes, the cold-driven slowness of his movements, all served to belie his 28 years of age. He squinted across the Hindenburg stove at his war comrade and last surviving friend, Company Sergeant Major Paul Meyer, tendrils of cigarette smoke dancing between them in the winter-bound air.
"I hate to waste our panzer fuel this way, Paul. Hate it. So each night we grow weaker, less able to move our tanks, and each night the Ivans grow stronger."
He flicked his head in a Deutscher Blick at the surrounding darkness, checking, out of long habit, to see who was listening.
"Where is it all going to end, I wonder?"
In the sudden silence left by the stifled panzer engines, the two men could make out the faint sound of the enemy singing. Meyer unhooked the curved meerschaum from between his teeth, spat on the bowl, then buffed the pipe vigorously against his leg.
"Listen to that, Captain. The Popovs have been given their vodka ration. The commissars must be preparing another attack. We have 2, maybe 3 hours at the most."
He stood up and blew his nose the farmer's way, clamping a finger to each nostril in turn.
"They have women with them too."
Max reared back.
"Sweet Jesus, don't tell me you can smell them from this distance."
Meyer grinned.
"Hear them. They screech. All the men are bases."
Max let out a derisive bark of laughter.
"So, we'd better eat then, build up our strength."
He prodded at the overcooked meat in the Eintopf. In the rapidly fading light, it was indistinguishable from the cabbage swimming beside it.
"What fresh delicacy has Schmidt managed to scrounge for us this time?"
"Fox."
"Ah. Don't worry. They tell me that if you rub it with salt, then pinch your nose and pretend that it's a haunch of venison, it doesn't taste so bad."
"Better than human flesh, anyway."
"Yes, Captain. Better than human flesh."
The joke had gone stale on them a long time ago. Both men knew it, but still they clung to it for comfort. Using the shared laughter as cover, Paul Meyer glanced furtively at his commanding officer. The collar of Max von Aschau's camera...